Donald Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, is refusing to turn over documents being sought by a Senate committee investigating Russian interference in last year's election. In a letter to lawmakers, Flynn's lawyers said he was invoking the Constitution's Fifth Amendment, which says no one has to be a, quote, witness against himself in a criminal case. With us to talk about the letter and its implications is Timothy Edgar. He's the academic director for law and policy at Brown University's Executive Master in Cybersecurity Program. Tim, thanks for joining us. What are these documents that the Senate is requesting from Michael Flynn?
Well, they're requesting a number of documents, including emails and other documents they think would be relevant to the investigation. And they're requesting them from Michael Flynn, as you said, the former national security advisor. And, you know, this is an area where Flynn's lawyers are going to have a hard time invoking the Fifth Amendment, because there's really no protection that the Fifth Amendment applies to documents. But there's kind of an exception to that we can get to in a second if you want.
Yeah, let's go ahead and dive into that. That was going to be my next question. You know, normally, at least, certainly non-lawyers probably think about the Fifth Amendment right as being something that involves you saying something out loud, and that might be self-incriminating. How is it a document is arguably something that's protected under the Fifth Amendment?
Right. Well, the documents themselves pretty much never would be protected by the Fifth Amendment because they weren't produced under any compulsion. You know, he produced correspondence, emails, memos, whatever he did on his own volition. So that's not protected by the Fifth Amendment. But the act of production may be. And that all depends on whether by producing these documents he is essentially communicating something that he knows that could incriminate him. Let me give you a very straightforward example. You know, if somebody suspected me of making a pact with the devil, you know, with my blood and on parchment, and they said to me, produce the pact with the devil, and I said, you know, well, if I produce it, then I prove that I have one, right? So it's kind of the same thing with these sorts of documents. If in the fact that he goes through and identifies them and produces them to the committee shows the committee something it doesn't already know, you know, something about his knowledge of where these documents are or the fact that they exist, then that's really testimony. And the courts have basically said you can't get around the Fifth Amendment by subpoenaing documents that way.
Well, so I'm looking at the letter, and they his lawyers talk about a Supreme Court case involving Webster Hubbell,
yeah.
A case called United States versus Hubbell. And essentially what the argument they're making is that case and others established that if there are specific documents that investigators can identify that exist, then they can expect those to be turned over. But in a case like this, where it's more of a fishing expedition, where they say, give us everything you have about contacts with the Russian government, that is testimonial in terms of that act of production, the way you were talking about. What's wrong with that argument?
Well, I think that's a good argument on its face. The question is whether the documents that they've identified in the letter they're seeking from Flynn are specific enough or not, or whether they meet that Webster-Hubbell test. And this gets also into another big question, which is who decides the answer to that question, right? I mean, let's say Flynn persists and says, you know, I'm not going to produce you these documents. There's a whole bunch of steps that the Congress is going to have to go through if they want to get a judicial ruling on whether he's entitled to, invoke the Fifth Amendment or not.
Yeah, can you walk us through those? What happens next?
This is really, I think, one of the reasons that congressional investigations can often take a very long time. If Flynn decides to stand his ground and not to hand over documents based on that letter his lawyers provided, then the committee is going to have to find him in contempt of Congress. And it's not just the committee itself. They'll have to refer that to the entire body for a vote. And assuming they get a vote, which is certainly not, you know, not a foregone conclusion given how partisan this investigation has become, then they would have to refer that to really one of two processes. They could refer it to the Justice Department for prosecution under a criminal contempt statute, or they could seek to enforce the subpoena through a civil litigation, essentially through a lawsuit against Flynn. And in either of those cases, Flynn's claim that he has a Fifth Amendment right not to produce the documents would then go before a judge to be litigated. But obviously that whole process would probably take many months to work itself through. And typically in these cases, what you find instead is that the lawyers for the witness and for the committee get together in order to try to narrow the request and come to some kind of resolution. But it's not clear what the resolution would be here with Flynn, just because General Flynn is in a lot of criminal, you know, hot water right now, and his lawyers are not going to want to take any action that might jeopardize him in any way. They're going to want to play their cards pretty close to the vest until they've gotten some sort of resolution from the Justice Department.
Yeah, I guess the one thing that the Senate could do would be to offer immunity, which is what he has been seeking. Does that seem like a realistic avenue to you?
Well, it's certainly what Flynn wants, and it's realistic if the Congress decides that what they care about is getting the answers to their questions without regard to how it screws up the criminal case against Flynn. They're very unlikely to do that, I would say. The last time that we had a really dramatic example of Congress giving a witness immunity in order to get that information out before the public was in the Oliver North case back in the 1980s, where essentially Congress was so eager to air that Iran-Contra scandal before the public that they went ahead and granted kind of the star witness, Oliver North, pretty broad immunity. But the result of that was to basically doom the criminal case against him. Ever since then, you know, it's been sort of conventional wisdom among most members of Congress and staff that you don't want to do that. You don't want to give immunity to witnesses that might be facing serious criminal problems. That you want to first let, in this case it'll be Bob Mueller, handle that part of the investigation. Well, I think it would be Bob Mueller. That's actually a good question. But you want the Justice Department essentially to handle all of that, and then if they come to a resolution, then you might get the testimony of that witness in cooperation with the prosecutors.
Tim, we're going to have to leave it there. I'll ask you that Bob Mueller question the next time. That was Timothy Edgar. He's with Brown University talking about Michael Flynn invoking the Fifth Amendment.